Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Glad you're here with us. It is the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That is Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Susan Thomason here with you every morning from 5 to 9. So we're glad you're with us. You can always download the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, we do each show. We break down the show by guest. You can get it by hour, whatever you'd prefer to do. And however you listen, we appreciate it here. We really do. We're on YouTube and Twitter. Facebook, Rumble this morning, if you want to watch. We got our connectivity is better this morning than it was yesterday, since the audio was not working. And that's not good, Carl.
For a radio show, no.
But I'm glad to say that our crack engineering team got it working immediately after our show ended yesterday. So it
perfect
was ready
timing.
For the it was ready for everybody else yesterday. That's good. We're the ones that got caught. When you're up this early, there aren't many other people in the building. So we've got it working. That's all that's important this morning. Coming up, we are going to talk a little bit more about the St. Louis County Council dispute that's going on right now with Sam Page over trying to appoint a replacement for Wesley Bell as prosecutor. Page once again has reverted to the tyrannical view that he had during COVID, that he can do what he wants. And county council goes, hold on. You can't do that. You have to have our approval to do it, number one. Then there's the secondary question of whether or not it's the governor that gets to appoint or the county executive. So we're going to talk to County Councilman Mark Harder coming up here at around 8:20 this morning, a little over an hour from right now. Be sure and stick around for that. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Emily Campagno from Fox News. We've had her on before. She's great. She's on Outnumbered. She's got a new book out about American heroes. And you can never brag enough about those. In fact, one of them got acquitted of a horrible crime that they alleged up in New York, Daniel Penny. Maybe she'll write a book about him next. That would be good, in my personal opinion. But first, we want to get to this morning's top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Luigi Mangione for the murder of the United Healthcare CEO, because I live a couple blocks from the murder scene, and if a guy that hot was near my apartment, I would have sensed it.
Yeah, these are the crazy libs of TikTok somehow now still online praising the guy that's been charged with gunning down another human being in cold blood, and it was all recorded on video. There's some sick, twisted puppies in this world.
I'm not a confrontational person. I don't really extend myself. I think this type of thing is very uncomfortable. All this attention and limelight is very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And meanwhile, while they're trying to praise Luigi Mangione, there's Daniel Penny. He doesn't want the attention that he's getting because of all this, but he is truly the hero that people should be talking about.
If our government really has no idea, then they're even more incompetent than I thought. We've got to get to the bottom of this, and they need to level with the American people about what's going on. It's crazy.
Yes, indeed. Josh Hawley talking about these drones, giant drones that have been flying over New Jersey and tracking Coast Guard ships off the coast of New Jersey. Why haven't they shot them down? I don't know. It seems like a really good question to me.
So what's the bad news? We have a psychopath that's going to be the head of Health and Human Services.
Yep. Guess what? Some things never change. Some things never change. Because that is a professor at a university up on the East Coast. And he's a biology professor, and he's talking to his students, right? And what do we complain about all the time, Kim, that they're doing in these universities? The professors are unrestrained with their indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
They're emboldened by it. I don't know if it's because there's never been really a crackdown on it by the college university presidents. And it doesn't seem to go both ways, right? It's not at all. If you're anti-Semitic, you can do whatever you want on campus. If you hate Donald Trump, you can do whatever you want on campus. If it goes against something that the university professors or presidents believe in, then suddenly they're interested in cracking down on you. But listen to this guy. This guy is something else. He's trying to convince all of his students to go home and change the minds of their fellow family members because of the horrific future we have with RFK at the Department of Health and Human Services.
So what's the bad news? We have a psychopath that's going to be the head of Health and Human Services, RFK Jr. He's against vaccines. He's a moron. That's not a political thing. That's a fact. Okay? And I am concerned that if we do have a pandemic with him in charge, he's going to be talking about crystals and meditation. All right? Ignore people like that. And I charge you guys with educating your friends and family. Hopefully, this doesn't happen. All right? Now that I've scared you to death, let's move on.
It's unbelievable that this, I mean, and probably nothing will happen. I'll follow up on it and see if they actually do anything to this guy.
I miss the days when college professors would teach you about asking questions and different things like that, but instead they just teach you, or they try to tell you what to think. Well, I was raised to ask questions and to look for the truth and to be bold enough to go against the grain. That's how I was raised by my parents. Sadly, that's the opposite of what kids are taught in college.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, this guy is a professor in Wisconsin.
By the way, just to set the record straight, because this really bothers me, RFK Jr. is not against vaccines.
No.
He's against the federal government forcing vaccines on people when there's no liability from these companies like Pfizer, for example. Zero liability if someone is vaccine injured. What he wants is safeguards in place to protect people, to make sure that these vaccines are in fact safe. So that's crap when people sit there and try to say that RFK Jr. is against all vaccines. He has questions, and we should be asking questions.
We absolutely should be asking those questions, and whether or not they've gone through the same trials as any other drug that a drug company would want to put forward. They seem to have, they have a process of skipping large trials to trying to rush these things to market, and that's a point that he has made repeatedly. I guess we'll find out what kind of an impact he can have in the Department of Health and Human Services. But this guy, there's been no comment by the university yet, now that this has kind of gone viral. So we'll see whether or not anything happens to this professor at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Who went on there? Timothy Postian is his name, by the way. He did this on Friday. So, well, you can excuse anything by saying this is not a political thing. This is a fact. He's a moron. Yeah. All right. Okay, prof, whatever you say. And you're going to fail me on my test if I disagree with you? Is that a possibility? All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Emily Campagno. She is a New York Times best-selling author with Under His Wings that's out. She's also, of course, does the True Crime podcast, co-host Outnumbered. She's coming up at 7:35. Stay tuned.
Mark, I hate to break it to you, but those drones are not drones. They're aircraft in the distance lining up for approach to an airport. They're awful lit up to be secret drones from other countries.
Interesting. One of the callers on our listener line this morning, you two can record a comment there. If you're on the Odyssey app and you're listening to 97.1, just hit the microphone button, watch for the countdown, and then start recording. You have up to 60 seconds. Now, who was that, Carl? What was his name?
Ryan.
Ryan. Ryan has decided these are aircraft coming into land. And my biggest challenge to you, Ryan, would be, There have been congressional hearings on this. And aircraft have been coming into land, lining up to come into land off the coast of New Jersey for 75, 80 years now. And the fact that somebody suddenly would confuse them with drones, I don't think that's the case. I think there are drones. And I don't know what the hesitation is to capture one of them and figure out what's going on. What is it transmitting? Where is it being controlled from? These are questions. If John Q. Public can't walk out there with a shotgun and take one out, the military certainly could, or law enforcement. They could take one of these things down. I don't see why they couldn't. A 12-gauge shotgun should work perfectly.
Why the hesitation? This just reminds me of what played out with the Chinese spy balloon that some people saw flying right over the St. Louis area near the Arch. Why wait so long to take them down? They're flying over military areas. They're supposedly also flying over
Bedminster
golf course is also where they're flying over. Trailing one of the Coast Guard boats, 12 drones or something like that. That's very concerning. I don't know why we wouldn't have taken action already. Some 21 mayors across New Jersey have already written saying, get these things down. Why are we still letting this play out?
It's funny you mentioned Bedminster. That just triggered a memory for me. Look at how the landscape has changed in Donald Trump's miraculous comeback in political life. There was a time when the PGA announced it would no longer allow PGA events to be held at Trump-owned golf courses like Bedminster. They canceled those because it wasn't politically correct. And I'll bet that's not the case anymore. I don't know if the PGA has changed its rules or not. The LPGA is changing its rules on the requirements to prove that you're a woman if you're going to play golf in the LPGA. But just you mentioned the mention of Bedminster brought that back into my brain, and how people just kind of pile on when there were all these fake allegations and accusations against Donald Trump, and now that he is back triumphantly, how quickly these leagues and everything have changed their tune. They're doing the Trump dance in the NFL now when they're celebrating.
So, I love seeing that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's not died down.
That's pretty awesome. It's one of my favorite memes I send to people on their birthday. They're friends of mine.
The Trump dance.
Trump doing the dance. I'm like, happy birthday. Let's celebrate.
I thought I did it so well in that video I posted on social media, and it was an epic failure.
Happy birthday to our friend Tom Messmer, by the way, who's celebrating today, right, Carl?
57, Tom.
Oh, he probably didn't need you to say
Carl. He doesn't care.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I owe him a bottle, just reminding me of that tonight.
Funny how men, they don't care if you say their age. Women,
not as much.
I guess it's after a certain point. I wouldn't care if you said my age, but after a certain point, and I don't know what that is. Maybe it's 40 or 50. Women don't like their age out there.
My mom was weird about that when I was a kid. She threatened me. You don't tell anybody how old I am. She did not want anybody to know. And even today, and now she's 89, so even today, she's still uncomfortable talking about it. It's weird because I guess in her brain, like in a lot of our brains, we don't feel as old as our birth certificate says we are. I don't know how Albert Pujols feels, but I'm just saying I don't feel as old as the birth certificate says I am. But for her specifically, it was a point of contention. I guess people's perceptions of you can change based on how old they think you are.
I guess.
Is that still how people feel, though?
I'm not going to say my mom's age on the air because I don't know how she'd feel about it. But what I will tell you, though, is when people find out how old, how young she is, they're stunned because my mom looks fantastic for her age. Truly. I'm not just saying that. That's a common comment that I've heard people say to her.
Good compliment. You should probably offer one up to Sandy,
too. I think she doesn't mind saying her age because to other people, because she knows that the general response she tends to get is, you look fantastic.
I'm trying to save you here. You should probably offer one up to Sandy Beach, too, while we're on here.
Sandy Beach, you look fantastic for your age as well.
Thank you.
I'm also not going to say her age.
Exactly. You got it. You have to mention them both if you're going to mention them. So,
next time, don't say for your age. Just say you look fantastic.
Yeah, you look fantastic.
Didn't Don Marsh get in trouble for that?
Karen Foss.
Oh, my gosh. Compliments her. She was fine with it, and the NPR station tried to fire him. I think he ended up quitting over that.
He did. He said, wow. Oh, I will not accept your apology.
Political
I'm
correctness.
Out.
Yeah, thank you, Don, for standing up for some common sense there, buddy. Emily Campagno from Fox News. You know her from Outnumbered. She's got some great podcasts on there and a new book out about American heroes. We'll talk to her when we come back. Welcome back. Our next guest, you see her on Outnumbered on Fox all the time. We've had her on the show here before talking about her true crime podcast, and we are thrilled to have Emily Campagno back on 97.1 FM Talk. Emily, welcome back.
Hey, guys. It's so good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I know you got a new book out, Under His Wings, How Faith on the Front Lines has Protected American Troops Over the Years. I can't wait to hear more about that. But what I want to ask you about first is the fact that the Fox lineup is being decimated by Donald Trump. He's taking everybody and putting them in his administration. When are you? You've got to be next, Emily.
Well, for right now, I'm just here with you, and that's an awesome thing.
I'm just kidding. Let's just talk about that. I mean, obviously, it's got to be quite an honor. I know you've worked at some point over the last couple of years, probably with Pete Hegseth. And how do you feel about that?
I am so honored to be part of a place that served as a chapter for these incredibly calibered individuals that go on to serve our country.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Pete is it looks like he's going to go ahead and get a vote and at least a confirmation hearing, which I think is only fair. And he's a fighter, clearly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I know we've been talking all day. I know you're covering these stories up there at Fox right now. We've been talking all day about these drones along the Upper East Coast in New Jersey. What's your take on this? From a law enforcement perspective, because I know you're an attorney and you've worked as a prosecutor before. I don't understand why they're not being more proactive in trying to figure out what's going on up there.
I know. And keep tuning into Fox News for that. I would love to talk about my book if I can with you guys, just because I know we only have a limited time.
Okay. No, absolutely. Sure. Let's talk about, you know, I was suggesting that we have lots of heroes in America and we don't get to hear their stories often enough. You've gone back and talked to some people who have used their faith to find that inner strength that a lot of us don't know that we have.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are in St. Louis right now. My mom was born there, and my dad went to medical school there as a commander in the Navy. He's part of the medical corps. So the much of this book is my family, and I come from a strong military family and with a legacy that I'm honored to serve as a messenger for. And thanks to my genealogist mom, we know these stories. We have these records and photographs, and when you open the book, all of those medals in the end paper, those are my family's. That's what hang on my childhood walls. So to serve as a messenger for them from Pearl Harbor to World War II, the ultimate sacrifice in World War I, Vietnam and war, in addition to serving as a messenger for these warfighters now that had these deeply intimate experiences with God and faith on the front lines, it's just incredible. Because the reality, too, is that what that front line looks like might change. So we have voices in here like, you know, Gold Star mother and the spouse of a catastrophically wounded soldier that endured over 100 surgeries and counting. So what that looks like, because our veterans, you know, they're soldiers and they're veterans for life. So that changes their needs and their processing and the evolution. So we explore so much in here about not only their faith writ large, but also these very impactful, incredible moments that are crystallized in their faith walk. So again, I'm just an honor to serve as a messenger for.
I love the topic of your book, and my grandpa fought in World War II, and it's sad to see kind of the way the military has gone over the last number of years, and I'm hoping that things are changing and then they're moving in the right direction with this new administration coming in.
Thank you for your grandfather's service. My family served in World War II as well. I agree with you, and I think that's reflected here. And so, for example, I just mentioned the Gold Star mother. You know, her son, his platoon mates called him John 3:16. And he wrote home to his parents. He said, if there's a grenade, I'm going to be the first one on it because these guys need more time to get right with God. And he made the ultimate sacrifice. And in his wake, as part of his legacy of light, Gabriel's mom restored the conversation of God and faith to the ceremonies that have been wiped of it, these Gold Star associations and ceremonies. So through his death, the light that he continues to shine through her restoring that is incredible. And I think that goes to your point, which is that warfighters were sort of taught, I think, for a long time to not mention it, don't say anything. And there's certainly, especially in recent times, like an absolute anti-movement against it. But now the shackles are coming off. They are feeling emboldened to proclaim their faith and to have their faith. Because as they wrestle with moral injury, the questions are, you know, how am I worthy to receive this grace? I'm not. But the answer is none of us are. And that's the miracle, that we have it anyway. So you're right that that too is reflected here. And again, how these warfighters tell their stories and that I'm the messenger for.
Emily, I know the USO plays a big role in the lives of a lot of these veterans, and they're going to have Exodus here coming up in the next couple of weeks from St. Louis as they all get to go home and visit their families. You've got some stories in here about the USO as well, and some of the famous, the big names, Ronald Reagan and others who traveled to see troops over the years.
And me, yeah. I mean, I had this incredible experience going there to Iraq and Kuwait in 2009. You know, like catapults your understanding and education when you are there physically and anywhere, right? Let alone there. And I just had a sliver, a taste of what those guys are going through over there. We had an amazing experience where we were sort of stranded in Sadr City for a night, this dangerous, incredible area. And we called it the Sadr City Slumber Party, right? It was a camp all night. We bonded with the guys and, you know, got out safely in the wee hours of the morning. And 3 days later, the colonel in charge who had taken care of us all night, he lost his legs. And another young sergeant, Timothy David, lost his life. And Colonel Carter credits prayers with surviving multiple times. He died multiple times, each time resuscitated. And he says, God promised me eternal life, not eternal legs. You know, his faith story is incredible. And we reunited for this book. And that chapter is in here, that story. And he's one of those chapters where you will laugh and cry at the same time. I certainly did in my interactions with him. He and all the voices in here are just national treasures.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. The book is called Under His Wings, How Faith on the Front Lines Has Protected American Troops. And Emily Campagno, the author here, and you see her on Fox News all the time. This is available right now, what, on Amazon and anywhere you buy your books, right?
Everywhere. And it debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And I just want you guys to know how much I appreciate your support for me and being able to talk about this for so long, because I get to talk about stuff on air, and this with you means a great deal to me. So thank you for letting me talk about it.
Absolutely. Emily Campagno, thanks for giving us some time today.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Have a great day. God bless.
You too. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
And see, we've talked to her before, and I thought she had St. Louis ties, and then someone commented on the listener line that I was thinking of someone else, but I was right.
Yeah, exactly. We did get a listener comment on that earlier that we were thinking about Marie Harf.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Harf is a Democrat. Her dad lives in Chesterfield, and I had her on the air at least once. She used to do a she did a podcast or a weekend show, one of the two, on Fox. She was on there quite a bit for a while, and we had her on here to talk about, just, you know, you don't have to have everyone on that you agree with. We were talking about politics and whatever was going on at the time, differences between Democrats and Republicans. And I remember her pointing out that her dad lived here. But you were right about Emily. I had forgotten that she had local ties.
Which is a big deal for me because my memory's just not great. So I'm impressed with myself. Can I admit that?
It is a victory, Kim.
I'm going to take the win when I can. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take the W when you can. Speaking of W's, what are we talking about today on The Whim?
Well, Caitlin Clark certainly got one because she was just named Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year. Now, if you've not seen her response to that great honor that I believe is much deserved, I'm sorry to say it's going to disappoint you.
Yeah, maybe just slightly. We're going to get to that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, Caitlin Clark has been named Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year, which I believe is deserved. And what's so sad is she was doing an interview with Time Magazine, and she acknowledges at one point, she says, "Look, I've been able to captivate so many people that have never watched women's sports, let alone women's basketball, and turn them into fans." But then here's what she goes on to say that just, I feel like we need the sound effect, like womp, womp, womp. She says, "I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege." Why, Caitlin? Come on. Look at all of the things you've accomplished. That has nothing to do with the color of your skin. You earned, thank you. You earned that. Why did you have to go and say that, well, it's really the black women who paved the way? Listen to part of this other quote that she said in this interview. A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them. The more we can appreciate that, highlight that, talk about that, and then continue to have brands and companies invest in those players that have made this league incredible, I think that's very important. Goes on to say, I have to continue to try to change that. The more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing.
I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say about it. Here's my question. I wonder when the NBA was first allowed black players to play, and they did allow them. They discriminated against black players for years. They finally allowed black players to play. Were they forced to heap praise on the white players that built the league? No. And what's going on in the NBA, the WNBA, where the 60% of the players are black or of mixed race? Maybe it's higher than that if you include mixed race. 60%. And that has transformed over, I don't know when the WNBA started, but that number's only gotten larger. It's now okay to reverse discriminate when somebody of a different skin color comes into the league and has success. She's being pressured to bow to the people that were already there and heap praise on them as if her own accomplishments don't speak for themselves. This is what I'm first of all, if she was forced to do it, I'm disappointed that she caved to it. If it's how she really feels, I'm even more disappointed.
Who would force her to do that?
I don't know.
Her age. Does she have an agent?
I've seen people suggesting that for PR reasons, maybe Time Magazine came to her and said, we want to name you Athlete of the Year, but we need to know how you feel about your impact on this league. I mean, who knows if she was coerced into making some kind of a statement like that. Maybe she's feeling the pressure of every time she drives to the basket, some veteran cuffs her to the ground or knocks her to the ground, and nobody puts a hand out to help her up like they're trying to intimidate her, and she thinks that's going to be better. What we've learned in this country is caving into the left does not make them like you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win their respect by suddenly trying to mimic whatever it is they're saying.
Because the minute
they still hate you.
The minute that you say something that goes against their narrative, they're going to cancel you. So
yes.
All these people who are backing her right now because of what she said with her having white privilege and attributing that to her success, they're going to hate you as soon as you say something that they don't agree with in the slightest bit.
I'd love to know when it comes to athletic performance, what white privilege gains you. You're either a Juan Soto who's worth $700 million a year, or you're not. I don't even know. I can assume from his last name that he has Hispanic origins. I don't think I've only seen a picture of him once. I've never watched him play. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, she's making it seem like it's something where brands are more interested in her. Maybe the fans were more interested in her. But that doesn't mean anything as it relates to her skill.
You can play or you can't. Look at Kaepernick. If he could win, if he was a winner, some NFL team would hire him and make him their quarterback. He's not as good as he thinks he is, or he would be in the league. It's got nothing to do with his race. They've got more black quarterbacks in the NFL right now than they've ever had.
Never have I ever looked at an athlete when I'm debating if I want to follow them and root for them and been like, wait a minute, hold on, that person's black. I can't root for them. Sure, there are probably some racist people out there who would make that argument, but the vast majority of the people, despite the left wanting to call all of us racist these days, that's just not it. To see people now on X who are saying, Caitlin Clark, you've lost me. She went from hero to zero because she caved to the woke nonsense. I can understand that. Trust me when I tell you I'm very disappointed in her response. I have empathy for her. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that she's some 22-year-old and she rose to fame relatively quickly. A lot of the players in the WNBA were turning against her and making her feel like she didn't deserve the success that she had. You had coaches who were making her feel that way.
Absolutely.
You have celebrities like Charlamagne the God, who was debating about this with Bill Maher, who was actually trying to back Caitlin Clark up. Bill Maher was. So she's been hearing this from basically everyone's telling her you are only successful because you're white. And so for whatever reason, because I don't always feel empathetic for other people, but for her, I feel sad. I feel like she's lost and she's just trying to appease everyone. And just to your point, Mark, when you do that, you end up losing people.
Yes.
You got to put your stake in the ground and stick by it. That's why I respect people who maybe they make a comment that I don't like, but at least they stick by it. When the crazies come at you, you don't cave and just you're so loose about it that it's like wherever the wind blows you, you're going to go.
That league is filled with racists who've said horrible things about her. That this Dawn Staley, this coach from South Carolina, who suggested that Angel Reese should be the MVP of the league and blah, 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 when the statistics in no way would bear that out. I'm not talking about MVP. I'm talking about a rookie of the year, that competition. Her position was based on race. There's no doubt about it. That's who she is. And I think she caved to some of that pressure. That's what I think happened. But I think in the long run, I think it hurts the WNBA if she's going to act like that, because fewer people are going to hold her up as an example of what you would want your daughter to do, I believe, other than be a good basketball player. Coming up, we'll give away a couple of tickets to Styx, and we'll talk to County Councilman Mark Harder about the prosecutor's position.
Get more at 971talk.com.